and welcome to the Pit Ince Podcast. I am your host, Angelo, and I am brought to you, as always, with this podcast by the Brainstorm Brewery. And, you know, my co-host this week, just when I thought that, like, he was giving up on the show, just when I was beginning to question his, what's the word I'm looking for? His commitment. Here he is, Brother Ryan. What's up, bro?
What up?
No, everything's taken care of. You don't feel sick, and your personal problem is all good now.
Once again, thank you for putting Jimmy John's on blast.
Somebody had to.
Yeah, dude, last week was just not good, man. Thank you, Kelso, for stepping in. And yeah, he did a good job, man. I've listened to all but like the last 20 or 30 minutes of last week's episode. So I haven't heard it all yet. Don't spoil anything for me, but so far, so good.
Yeah, I think the last 20 minutes we rambled. So that's probably the best part of the show.
Yeah.
This is what, episode 72. Did I say that? I don't know. Who cares? But over in, let's see, I have Manchester first on the show notes, so let's go to Manchester where they was playing the cardboard. Oh, the cardboard.
Where we had a posse buddy represent and do quite well.
Yeah, for his first GP, he finished a win away from day twoing. So, and I'm sorry, your name escapes me at the moment, and I feel bad.
I'm probably going to mispronounce it. Let us know if I say this wrong. Is it Cian? Cian Jarvis.
Okay, yeah, Cian or Cian, yeah.
Cian, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know how to say that name. That looks cool as shit, man. I've never seen that name before. I'd like to, you know how to say it, so. Yeah, he went out and represented, and I wanted to say thanks for telling us about that. That's cool, showing the love all the way from across the fucking ocean, man.
Yeah, or across the pond, as they say.
Across the pond, yes.
It's a little bigger than a fucking pond. I just want to point that out.
Across the pond.
So they were playing sealed over there. For some reason, they gave us the top 16 deck list, which, you know, for some reason, Magic doesn't even do that with frickin' Standard, which is probably a better place to do that. I'll admit that. One very strange thing that I did see here that I kind of liked, I think that it is, was this, I don't know, maybe it's not. What was they playing? Standard? I think they were playing Standard.
Block Constructed.
Oh, Block Constructed. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense.
I'm sorry, I had food in my mouth or I would have wrecked you sooner.
Okay, that's right. Team Sealed was in San Paulo. Yeah. Sorry, people.
So yeah, they do usually give the top 16 in constructed formats as far as sealed goes. At least they have been lately.
Wizards does? I mean, cause normally I don't see that. Well, it's not set up this way, but you know, the Wizards setup is usually fucked anyway, so it makes sense.
Oftentimes there's another link you have to click on to get to the top 16 deck list. It's like embedded into like their coverage archive or something. Like, I don't know, dude. It's weird, but yeah, the top 8 is at the bottom a bit.
Yeah. Kind of weird. So here is the way the top 8 broke down. We have Sebastian Nyor versus Juan Carlo Adebo Diaz. Okay. Nyor wins that 2-1. We have Fabrizio Enteri versus Marcio. That could be
Carvalho.
Enteri wins that 2-1. We had Bradley Barclay versus Tamas Gleed. Gleed wins at 2-0.
Yeah, no big surprise there. Gleed's pretty well known. That's the first name I recognize on here.
Yes. And Terry.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's somebody. Nicholas Lebon versus Valentin Mackel, and Valentin Mackel wins 2-1. So, of our semifinalists, three of them are known.
Quantities. Yeah, another big name. Yeah. Valentin Mackel, no big surprise.
No. So Sebastian Nyor versus Anteri, and Terry wins 2-1. Tamas Gleed versus Valentin Mackel. I wish I was awake to see this. Tamas Gleed wins 2-1, and Anteri wins it all 2-1. Congratulations to Anteri. Yada, yada, yada. Yar, yar, yar. You know, all those words and stuff. So Sebastian Nyor, he was running the mono black aggro deck, which is your four Nord Scarhide, four Herald of Torment, four Master of the Feast, which I've heard a lot of people say that they just want to take that out of there. Four Mogus Marauder, four Painseer, four Spiteful Return, and four Tormented Hero, four Thoughtseize, four Heroes Downfall, two Boon of Erebos. Because here's the thing with the Feast. From what I've gathered talking to a lot of people who have run Master of the Feast a bit, is when it's good, holy shit, is it good. But when it's bad, it's bad. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I've seen Unlimited and get played and then someone go pinned to the earth on it. I mean, there's a lot of bad situations for it. In Standard, I mean, there's plenty of pacifism effects and it just becomes a draw, an extra card for your own opponent.
Well, the way that, block is setting up, especially, and I'm sure that this is going to carry over, is a lot of times you'll play Master of the Feast, you'll let them draw a card and then they just Heroes Downfall the thing.
That's fair, but man, when it gets away, it's good. And I think that's the reason he's playing two Boon of Erebos, is just protect that Master of the Feast. They finally draw the removal spell or whatever.
That makes sense.
You have an answer for it. That's the only reason I could think of playing Boon of Erebos in this. I mean, maybe the +2/+0 is some extra reach, but
this deck is
how they would go for it.
Fast. I've played against this a little bit and holy hell is this deck fast.
Yeah, it didn't really show up at the Pro Tour. It was one of the better performers at the Pro Tour, around a 50% wins, but it wasn't really, you know, a force or anything that they really talked about. So, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. The Europeans we've been seeing is of late, you know, they've been going much faster. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned that too last week, that the online meta in this format's incredibly fast.
Oh, it's gotten so quick. It's stupid. Okay. So Bradley Barclay, he was in the top eight as well and he was running Bug and he has taken out the Sphinxes. And he's, I can't read tonight. Things are bad.
No, he's got the Diabetes Sphinx.
He does. That's what I mean. Like, as soon as I said that, I look and I go, wait, there they are. But it's 4 Courser, 4 Sphinx, 4 Carotid, and 2, he's running the Reaper package.
Yep.
So that's nice. Kiora, Ashiok. Pretty much what you'd expect from this deck. 3 Bowblight, 4 Heroes Downfall, 3 Silence the Believers, 4 Thought Season, and Unravel the Aether, which is like the answer to Core Surf Crew Fix.
That's pretty good.
I'm sorry. Then we have Nicholas Laban, who is going Mono Black Devotion. Now, this is a different deck than the Speed deck. Its main win condition is Abhorrent Overlord, which is the 6/6 flyer that brings in bats.
Yeah, this is pretty sick.
Or harpies or whatever it brings in. It brings in flying things that are a pain in the ass. There you go.
Yeah.
But it's 4 Brain Maggot, 3 Abhorrent Overlord, 3 Disciple Phoenix, a little bit of hand disruption there, 2 Erebos, God of the Dead, because getting back any of 4 Grey Merchants is fun, and 3 Herald of Torment. His removal looks like Bowblight, 4 Heroes, 2 Bowblight, 4 Heroes Downfall, Silence the Believers, and then he has 4 Thought Season 3 Whips. So
I don't know. I don't really like this deck.
It's a little bit slower, but it's really based heavily off of hand disruption early, and then you just beat them with Grey Merchants and Abhorrent Overlords.
And I guess you could whip back a Grey Merchant if it does get killed, but that's like 3 Whip of Erebos. That's a lot of whips, man.
It is a lot of whips, but the Lifelink is a big deal.
That's fair, but yeah. That seems like overkill to me.
Yeah, I do like the,
if you're dumping a bunch of
pandemonium in the sideboard.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you're dumping a bunch of shit in the graveyard, I mean, 3 or 4 whips may be where to go, but, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't really see
it, but. I do like the Phyxis of Pandemonium in the sideboard, like I've never played that card. And
that do.
Okay, for 1 mana you can play it. It's an artifact. Each player exiles the top card of his or her library face down for tap. For 7 in tap, sacrifice Phyxis, and each player turns face up all cards he or she owns exiled with Phyxis, then puts all permanent cards among them onto the battlefield. So you can set up like 1 big turn of Grey Merchants.
Yeah, and you can stack them too, so they enter last.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sweet.
Antieri, he was running him some Bug, and that's what he used to take it down, and his list is fairly stock, pretty much what we just went over. Tamos.
He's only running 3 Ashiok, though.
What, I think the other one running 3?
He cut down on 1 and added a Reed Bones, it looks like.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, he added a Reed the Bones.
Fair enough. Tamos Gleed was running Green Red Elspeth.
Yep.
Which I've been running a lot of Green Red Elspeth, and I like this deck.
Yeah, I do too. This is pretty sweet. This is a lot like the Italian guy from the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
I like his version with the Lightning Strikes and the Destructive Rebel Remain.
Mangucci, yeah. Andre Mangucci.
This is very similar to his list, man. I like this a lot. We said Destructive Revelry is nuts in this block format, and I love seeing that main board in this list.
I don't know if I just draw bad, but I cannot beat fast decks with this deck.
Really? I mean, I don't know.
You got to get that
turn two carry in it, turn three courser going, man.
Yeah, it's so funny. I never seem to draw coursers. And if I do draw a courser, I never have a land on top. Like, it's so terrible for me.
I would think with four lightning bolts, you got enough in the two magma jets that there's kind of enough. You know, you got enough to kind of
stop
some of the early guys.
I've just had issues. Like, anytime I get anything good down, it gets banished. I've had issues, man. I don't know. So we have Red White from Mr. Diaz. He's running the Red White Heroic that, you know, tops out with Phalanx Leader.
Yeah, this is sick. This is another deck that showed up in the top eight of the Pro Tour and got crushed real quick by Bug.
The white blue wood that uses
Sifka. Yeah, Sifka played this deck Pro Tour very fast, man. This is a sweet deck.
Right. There is a white blue one out there that uses Launch to Fleet, which Celso decided he was going to run against me in some games. Holy hell, is that deck so much better.
Really? Why is that?
It flows so much better. You can draw like infinite cards because of the blue ordeals.
That's fair, man. The Titan strength just sells it for me, man. And
I get that, but I'm telling you, the blue ordeal is holy hell the cards you draw.
Yes.
And I think one turn out when I was playing against him, and it was a stable board, and then he drew eight cards in a turn.
Jeez.
And I'm just like, okay, I can't beat you now.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. And I suppose, like, you guys talked about the interaction last week and from what I've heard so far about hubris. I mean, maybe you can hubris your own dude and take advantage of those ordeals even more.
Right, right. So Valentin Backel, he was running the green-white Elspeth. It actually looks a lot more like the one that I run. It has a Johnny in it. It increases the banishing lights all the way up to four. It's not as worried.
This is Naya, man.
It's green-white. It's green-red Elspeth, dude.
Four Fleece Mane Lions.
Yeah.
Three Brimaz. Come on, man. That's Naya, bro.
Okay. You know what? Everyone still calls it Green Red Elspeth when I run it, and this is damn near my list.
With an Ajani Minor, with all this white in the main board, it's still not considered Naya.
Dude, it's just, I mean, you gotta understand that once a name sticks, the name sticks.
Yeah, but this is completely different than the deck we just talked about.
It is, but once a name sticks, and they're just like, okay, it's those colors. So this is what it is.
That's fucking stupid, because this deck is nothing like the Red Green Elspeth from the Pro Tour or the one we just covered. This is way different.
Well, the same goes with Judd. Judd hasn't been Judd in my eyes since the first Judd deck, you know, once they took out the elf, it's no longer Judd to me.
Well, Jund is just an arbitrary name for a color scheme.
Yeah, but Jund at one time was a very specific deck. You get what I'm saying? And now it's something different. It's kind of like Naya. At one time, Naya was, you know, like, Naya was lightsaber, and that was what Naya was, and then it became pretty much anything using that color scheme. I don't like that, but you know, so be it. Carvalho, he's running these damn near exact same, except for he has an extra Polis Crusher and no Voyaging Satyr.
Yes, Carvalho also on Naya as well.
Yes. So that was our top eight. Some good decks there. They must not be as fast as the online is, because I have real problems against, even with like the Fleece Mane Lions and everything, I have real problems against fast decks. So maybe I'm drawing bad. I don't know, but it is what it is. Congratulations to our winner, Mr. Antari.
Yeah, a special shout out to Valentin Mackle, man, for finally cracking a top eight. I've been following this dude this year, and he's gotten 9th, 10th, like, over and over again. And if you read his top eight profile, he's had 7 top 16s at Grand Prix this season alone.
Well, I mean,
so I'm glad he finally got his top eight. He's been right there.
He has been
fucking GP, but yeah. So props to him, man. I know that's something he just got off his back. He's probably very happy about, even though he didn't take the tournament down.
You know what, though? Honestly, I mean, I know top eight is a big deal, and it really legitimately is, but top 16, it's almost just as big of a deal.
When you're trying to get on and stay on the Pro Tour, and the top 16s, the GPs rarely get you invited to the Pro Tour. They're not as big.
It gets you points.
You get points
at them. I mean, so, and the thing is, you can only use your top 5 finishes from a GP anyway. And these players who play a lot, I mean, you might have 1 or 2 top 8s, and then you have a bunch of top 16s that you use for your top 5, unless, you know, you're one of the wonder kids running around right now.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so San Paolo. They were playing Sealed. Yes, they were playing Team Sealed. Yes. I don't know. So, of course, we only have four teams in the top four, and that's Choji, Vieira, Santiago versus Bulnes, Vieiras, and Farnung. And Choji, Vieira, and Santiago win 2-0. Esteves, Marjan, and Jundi versus Berthold, Cortez, and Perez 2-0. So that means none of those games the third player had to actually finish. Esteves, Marjan, and Jundi beat Choji, Vieira, Santiago 2-0. So good for them. These tournaments are hard to go over. And I love limited, but it's so hard to explain the way these decks are built and everything. So yeah. So let's just go to the top five cards and just say that'll work.
I mean, there was really nothing new here.
It's sealed. So, and it's team sealed, so it's a lot different than other sealed. So we had Golden Hind at five, which makes perfectly good sense. It's like the common you take over a lot of rares. Pack one, pick one. Serving the Timoret, another fine card.
Oh, that card is so good. Fine. That card is awesome.
It's a fine card.
I mean,
it's not a bad card by any means. I mean, it's in the right deck, it's a great card. In the wrong deck, it's just a fine card.
Stefan Berrios got, 20'd multiple people with it, it says. That's pretty impressive.
That it was in the right deck there. Because honest to God, like, if you get it in that real slow, Servant of Timoret, Scholar of Athreos deck, this thing is a beast in that deck.
You're talking, if you 20 someone with this, you're talking about, unless you ramp into it, you're talking about a minimum of like 23 turns, right? No, 24 turns, because it's got
summoning sickness, yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yep, that's just taking your time and just slowly just beating somebody down. And like I said, in the right deck, the thing is insane. In the wrong deck, meh. Okay, so we have Fearsome Temper on three. We have Rouse the Mob as two. And number one, because, gods win drafts, Iroas, God of Victory, and Karanos, God of Storms.
I like Iroas. I still think it's got standard potential. A lot of people have poo-pooed on that card, man.
I'm actually using it at block as a foil for Elspeth.
Okay.
Because when I get it stuck at mirror batches, Elspeth on Elspeth, my tokens can get through where his can't, because, you know, that a lot of times that's all that's on the board is his three tokens, my three tokens.
Yeah. What's wrong with Banishing Light on the Elspeth and just plusing your Elspeth and just outgrowing their army?
Because a lot of times I end up using the Banishing Light on the other threats.
Okay.
Early on, and it's good to just have that extra thing. Like I said, I bring this out of the board, and it's only a two of in my deck, but the couple of times that it's come down to Elspeth on Elspeth, and I've had this out, I kill their Elspeth immediately, and I win the game.
Do you run Glare of Heresy in the board?
Yes.
Okay.
Those come in as well.
I like Iroas, man. I think he, like you're saying, I think he's got potential. I don't know. I might have to pick some up. I just got a playset of Farikas. That's another one that I know we've had people shit on this show. I won't point fingers.
He
took shit on the page.
Karanos is really good too. That card cannot be overlooked. It's a bolt.
Oh yeah, one of the craziest games of Magic I've seen recently was a guy having his opponent down to three life and just slowly losing, and then he went four turns without Karanos getting to deal three damage, and it was the saddest thing, but it was so funny. Yeah.
It's hey, you get to draw that land, by the way.
But yeah, it's a pretty sweet ability. Karanos is good. Karanos is actually seeing some love. Athreos is still up there in price.
Online it's very low, Athreos. I think it's three tickets. Now is when to buy them, because
it's still going for about $12 online. So
online,
eBay.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, because I just saw it. It was $3 or 3.8 ticks, and I was I might need to buy those at that price, because I don't.
No, I still think
stay down there.
I still think there's some hype behind Athreos that people are waiting on a build. I don't know. Maybe people are waiting for Sam Black to do something crazy, which is what everyone expected when the card came out and hasn't been done yet. So.
Right. I think it's waiting for Boddard.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Megan's actually was talking about picking one up just for the pod deck is maybe a possibility, because people are talking about running it as a one of in pod, and Orzhov Pontiff, to be fair, is a three drop, and that deck has been less than impressive, I guess. So.
Yeah, I like Pontiff, but I don't know that. I mean, when it's good at that deck, it's weird.
It's hard to get like the 2-for-1 thing with it. Like, yeah. It's weird, man. It's a weird card.
Yeah, but man, that haunt is so nice when it works. I mean, cause especially in that deck, cause you don't have a lot of spot removal to back up the Pontiff.
Yeah.
So you don't get the 2-for-1 a lot of times. I can understand that. I could see that clearly. Interesting. So, SCG, they were in your neck of the woods.
Yes, they were.
So we have Jonathan Hobble versus Jacob Ball, and Hobble wins 2-1. Ryan Forsberg versus Chris Van Meter, and just take a wild guess. Chris Van Meter 2-0. Sorry, Ryan, but you know, Justin Crandall versus Devin Painter. Yeah. Crandall wins 2-0. James Tennant versus Josh Dickinson, and Tennant wins 2-0. Cradle over Tennant 2-1. Habel over Van Meter 2-1, and Cradle ends up winning it all.
Sad, man. Sad.
Yeah, the beard stays on.
The beard stays on. This is like 2 top 8s in a row for Van Meter.
Yeah.
That's shitty, bro.
Yeah, and he usually always wins that first match. Like, he makes it to the next morning. Gets up all early as hell, runs down there to play his match, and then loses, it seems like, a lot. So let's see if anything different showed up here. We have Naya Midrange winning it all.
Yep, pretty sweet.
I'm assuming this is a standard deck list.
It's not the Brave Naya we've been seeing, so this kind of goes over the top. This one.
Okay.
3 mainboard Keening Apparitions.
I like that.
Dude, I shit on that, right? I was like, that's
garbage. Dude, that's destroy target crew.
No.
Course crew.
I did shit on it. I was like, come on, there's gotta be something better than that. Like, there's no Voice of Resurgence in this deck. I was like, at least replace that with Voice and put this in the board, right?
It makes sense to kill the Courser, though. It really does.
It's not only the Courser, but it gets rid of Banishing Lights. It gets rid of Attention Spheres. There's a lot of relevant enchantments right now outside of the just sheer number of creatures that are enchantments against, Black Aggro. This is a very good card. It kills fucking half the deck.
And let's not forget, it's a 2/2 when you don't need it for anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not bad.
And believe me, this deck has plenty of other creatures your opponent has to worry about. 4 Storm Breasts, 4 Sylvan Caryatids, 3 Voyaging Satyr, 4 Coursers, and 3 Pelucranos. Mm-hmm. So we're back to the Pelucranos. No more Loxodon Smiter. He's opting for more, you know, just the Voyaging Satyr to ramp and Courser Crucifix Clan.
Yeah, 9, just go over the top.
9 Planeswalkers, bro. 3 Ajani Mentor Heroes.
I like.
3 of them, though. That's a lot, man.
Have you ever got one of those active?
I had two I would love in this. I just 3.
Yeah, I'm just saying, have you ever gotten one of them active? Because holy crap, do they play really well.
I'll admit to having ordered them. I don't have them yet. So I will admit to, after having talked shit, maybe, you know, going ahead and ordering them.
You go like turn 3 Courser into turn 4 Ajani.
Yeah, to be fair, a lot of decks are actually, a lot of these decks, this is the one list I've seen that's not running 4. A lot of these lists are running 4 Ajanis, or like a 2-2 split on the 3-drop Ajani, and then 2 of these. He's going 3 Ajani Mentor Heroes, 1 Chandra Pyromaster, 2 Elspis, and 3 Xenagos.
Yeah.
25 lands, what you would expect, no mana confluence, which kind of surprises me.
You know what surprises me? The fact that he didn't try to jam Mutavaults in there, because so many people are just jamming Mutavaults into everything.
That's too greedy. I mean, this is...
It is. It's way too greedy, but you can't say that you haven't seen it in 3 color decks.
Yeah. Oh, we have. 2 Selesnya Charms, 3 Mizzium Mortars. I like that, man. Charm is really fucking good, and it handles like one creature this deck just absolutely hates to see, and that's Desecration Demon.
Yes.
So, the Mizzium Mortars also very good, handles, you know, all the problem creatures, Blood Baron and Stormbreath Dragon, just Mizzium Mortars is really fucking solid right now. His sideboard is 3 Fiendslayer Paladins, 3 Mistcutter Hydras, 3 Unflinching Courage, 1 Deicide, 2 Magma Spray, 1 Elspeth, and 2 Anger of the Gods. I don't know, I thought that was interesting. Anger of the Gods I found was an interesting call, and Magma Spray is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. This is something I almost can build. Just because my block deck is like this deck almost, so. Yeah. I'm getting closer, man. I'm getting closer to playing standard. It's gonna happen here soon.
It's something to test. I know we have posse members working on a Naya build now. So guys, maybe look at going to this. I know y'all seem to be on the Brave Naya plan. Kevin Schultz and Megan or 2B Boy, I know, kind of mulling around Naya. By the way, welcome back, Kevin Schultz. We're glad you're still here with us.
Absolutely. It's good to see that you did not quit the game.
not to interrupt what we're doing here, but I just, before I forget, man, it was good to see him post again, man. That was cool as shit.
Yep. Second place, Jund Monsters.
No big surprise. Nothing new.
Red White Burn from Tenet in third. Meh.
So I love them.
I like the deck. I really do, but it's just like one of those things we've talked about quite a bit.
And I like the Eidolon of the Great Revel. I know you guys were kind of like, it's confusing, but
it kind of is, but it kind of isn't.
The thing is, it gets in more damage over like Ash Sellet, I think. And it also, it lets you like, it's gonna get in damage whether hitting them or forcing them to deal with it.
Yeah, this deck reminds me a lot of the old Suicide Black, where it's just like, look, yeah, I'm going to take a fuck ton of damage, but if you don't move quickly, I am going to pound your face.
Yep.
And there's something to be said about that. That's quality.
Yeah, and he can offset some of that damage with War Leader's Helix. I mean, there is that.
So. Right. And that one does not cause him to take damage, so that's nice. We have Green White. I'm sorry, Chris Van Meter was on Jund Monsters. Then we have Green White Aggro. This is pretty cool. We have 4 Elvish Mystics, 3 Fleece Mane Lions, 4 Smiters, 1 Scavenging Ooze, 4 Voice of Resurgence, 4 Boon Seder, 2 Pelucranos, 2 Ajani Caller of the Pride, 2 Ajani Mentor of Heroes, 2 Banishing Light, 4 Advent of Worm, 4 Selesnya Charm, 23 lands for, 2 Mutavaults, 2 Mana Confluence worth talking about. 2 Guild Gates.
The Guild Gates suck. Get that out of here.
We have good mana now.
Why? No 4 Confluence over the Guild Gates any day of the week with this 2-color deck.
Yeah, his sideboard is really cool though. He has 3 Mistcutter Hydras. He has 2 of one of my favorite old draft cards, Scion of V2 Gauze.
I love that card. That's good. It's standard playable, man. It is. There's people, I've seen people, I've ran it before. It is standard playable. It's a fun card.
I mean, it's a 4/4 for 5 that brings sticks with it. So, I mean, that's pretty
good.
Decent.
Kastani.
Yeah. 3 Unflinching Courage, 2 Celestial Flare, 2 Reprisal, and 3 Setessan Tact. Reprisal's interesting, but I guess, you know, if what you're worried about is other big things.
I do like this deck a lot. I don't know about Reprisal either, because you already have Selesnya Charm, which is kind of your trump for the bigger things anyways. Reprisal's good against, like, opposing Pelucranoses.
Junked up black decks.
Yeah.
Anyone that puts a Herald on
like
something.
It's extra. This is another deck that absolutely hates to see Desecration Demon. So instead of Plummet, which a lot of green-white aggro we've seen recently run in a couple Plummets on top of the Selesnya Charms just to handle, like, not only the Night Vale Spectres, but Desecration Demons. Night Vale's not being played as much right now, so Reprisal is just fine for...
It hits more options than just flyers, so...
Reprisal gets... I mean, green red monsters is still a big deck, and Jund Monsters with 2 in the top 8 is obviously still a contender. Reprisal is pretty good against those decks,
right?
Outside of Storm Breath, but I don't really like. I think Elvish Mystic's a mistake.
When you're running Guild Gates instead of.
Yeah, I mean, go with the Mana Confluence. You don't need, I would much rather see like Experiment 1 at that slot, or you know, just another 1-drop Dryad Militant, something like that, because you're really. Again, in this build, at this time with the quality 2-drops like Fleece Mane Lion and Voice of Resurgence, you're not really ramping into anything. Loxodon is not something you need to absolutely ramp into like this deck had to do when Loxodon first came out. Like,
It really depends on what you perceive the meta to be. And if you think you're going to be sitting down against a lot of control decks, like I could see wanting to ramp into that quickly. But aside from that, you're right.
I mean, your 2-drop threat's already really good against...
They are. But you don't want to put down a Fleece Mane Lion on turn 2. You want to put against control, you know. You want that to actually get there to where you can make him indestructible. So a lot of times, you won't play him till later in the game.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's see here. Black-white midrange in 6th place. This is your let's play everything really big and a bunch of pack rats. So we have 3 Blood Barons, 4 Desecration Demons, 4 Pack Rats, 2 Obsidot, a Sin Collector, and 3 Lifebane Zombie, and then 3 Underworld Connections and a whole bunch of fucking removal. So, I mean, this is a deck we've seen pop up.
And he's opted to Red, black, white mid-range has been cutting underworld connections for Read the Bones just because in the mirror with, black, green, Abrupt Decay is just a blowout against connections. So I do still think Read the Bones is where you may want to be in the meta. Devour Flesh, I like seeing that as a four of and coming back because I just don't think this deck needs Vanishing Light and people were skimming on some of the removal like, Devour Flesh to play a couple Vanishing Lights that I just don't think you need.
All right. Seventh place, we have the Red White Burn deck again. And in eighth place, we have Green Black Devotion, which is Black Devotion with green.
No, this green black devotion is.
Oh no, this is green. I thought this was a different one.
This is a cool deck, man.
Yeah, actually it is. Let's see. We have four Burning Tree Emissary, four Elvish Mystic, two Sylvan Caryatids. Why not? Never mind. Four Voyaging Satyr, four Boon Satyr, four Courser of Crucifix, four Eidolon of Blossoms, four Pelucranos, three Nylea, two Farika, four Garruk. That's his deck. No spells.
35 fucking dudes. Deal with them.
Holy fuck.
That is hilarious. I haven't seen this many creatures in a deck in a long time.
Question. Looking at the deck and looking at how it's comprised, would you cut two Mystics for two Caryatids? Because, I mean, he's running four Voyaging Satyr, and I would have to think that Caryatid's better than Voyaging Satyr.
Yeah, and Caryatid comes in off of Burning Tree. Caryatid also is so much better against the aggro decks right now.
Yeah, even cutting two Voyaging Satyr, leaving the four Elvish Mystic for two more Caryatids, it just seems better to me.
Yeah, I definitely can agree with that for sure.
His sideboard looks as follows. Three Mistcutter Hydra. Oh, here's a spell. Four Golgari Charm, three Boa Nylea, one Vraska, and four Thoughtseize.
I love the sideboard too, man. It's just He's got large numbers of a specific answer, like control, just straight four Thoughtseize.
This is completely different. Like, the ninth place one is the Black Greed Devotion one that I was talking about, which is Black Devotion.
It's flashing Abrupt Decay, yeah.
Yeah, I do like this eighth place deck. Like, it's different.
It's pretty funny, man. I missed out on this coverage, so that's something I'd like to go back and see that. That's 35 creatures. That's pretty fucking sweet, man.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, hey, congratulations to, Mr. Crandall. Chris, you'll get there, man. You'll get there. I have faith in you, bro. I do. So, Legacy. I did watch some Legacy. I'm not going to lie. We had Greg Mueller versus Stephen Mann. Stephen Mann wins 2-1. Todd Anderson versus Joe Bernal. Bernal wins 2-1. Geo Thornton versus Herzog. Herzog wins 2-0. Riley Curran versus Matt Hoey. Yeah.
He recently won an SCG Atlanta, I want to say, with Rug Delver.
Yeah, I think so. That's why I'm like, last time I pronounced his name wrong.
Yeah, what a stack top eight though, bro.
It's actually very common for the Legacy to be stacked like this because the players who understand their decks the best are usually the ones who rise to the top. And then you'll have like one or two locals who sneak their way in, you know, the non-SCG grinders. So this seems about right. Curran does beat Hoey though, 2-1. Curran over Herzog, 2-0. Bernal over Stephen Mann, 2-0. And Riley Curran wins, 2-1.
Shockingly, man. That matchup is so unfair to elves.
Well,
Esper Stoneblade is usually a straight blowout against elves.
If they stumble a little bit, and literally a little bit, then elves can beat them, but you need them to stumble usually.
I mean, I did see the coverage of the finals, and Joe Bernal was joking in between games one and two that he looked at his sideboard and was like, do I even need any of these? Because the matchup is so fucking good, man.
It is. I mean, it is in Esper Stoneblade's wheelhouse. The only problem is with elves is it's very unreactive to what the other player is doing, and if he does not have the right cards in hand, it's going to win. It doesn't matter what it's going up against. It's kind of like Sneak and Show in that way.
Yeah, he did struggle on mana really bad, and that was kind of what did him in. Not to say that Riley Curran didn't play exceptionally well, which he did. He made some lines of play that were really impressive, and he's a very well-known and respected Elves player.
Yep.
Like it says, the Know Your Deck format, Riley Curran, he's top eighted plenty of these events before. He's won with Elves before, so he knows his matchups in and out. So just, even though on paper, this matchup is very, you know, in Esper Stoneblade's favor. You know, you do have to take the pilot into account, and Riley Kern's been on Els for fucking years. So, he's played this matchup enough to know how to pilot through it. It's just, man, Stoneforge, Umezawa's Jitte, it's usually game over for Els, man.
Usually. So we have, like Ryan said, Stoneblade game in second. We have Maverick, show back up in third.
Yeah. Which, in the hands of another skilled Maverick player.
Yeah, it's so nice to see Maverick up there. I do like Maverick. I've always liked Maverick. Gaddick Teague fucks so many people.
Yep. It's good to just watch some good old fair, quote-unquote fair magic and Legacy.
It is. Rug Delver in fourth with Steven Mann. Greg Mueller went on Bug Delver. So top five, no repeats yet. Manalus Dredge in sixth. Sneak and Show in seventh. Of course, Todd Anderson, he's on that Sneak and Show. Finally, a repeat, Matt Hoey on Rug Delver. And then after that, we also have a mud deck, a Merfolk deck, a High Tide deck, and a Burn deck in the top 16. I want to look at this Burn deck. I do like a good Legacy Burn deck.
And High Tide by Feline Longmoor. Very well respected. Very well respected High Tide player. So this, no surprise.
Ooh, I like this. Four Goblin Guides, four Grim Lavamancer, four Eidolon of the Great Revel, which, I mean, this card is just bonkers in Legacy. Four Fire Blast, four Lightning Bolt, four Searing Blaze, four Chain Lightning, four Flame Rifts, four Lava Spike, four Rift Bolts.
Yep. I mean, outside of Force of Will, Eidolon pretty much tells everyone in Legacy, take two damage for every spell you cast this game.
Damn near it. Damn near it. Like, I mean, there's cards like Fire Blast and Force of Will, and, you know, there are a few cards. But
yeah, that's like outside of those staples like Force of Will.
I mean, there's Progenitus, you know, some people do actually play that here and there. There's Emrakul. But for the most part, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, it's just like, look, you're going to take two for everything you cast. And that's insane in this format. Three Relic of Progenitus in the sideboard. Three Pyrostatic Pillars. Three Price of Progress. Three Searing Blood. Three Shattering Spree. A very straightforward sideboard. He has no lands that are really worth talking about. Like, he's not running any, you know, destroy. No wastelands, no, you know, anti-legendary creature stuff, nothing. Just, I'm going to just straight beat your face with burn, figure out a way to beat me. I like it. I really do.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's really hard because there's so many of these, Delver decks, especially like, you know, in the Esper Delver and what have you. Any of those things that can go and fetch out a, Batterskull is really tough for burn in this format, so.
This has a lot of, though, quick answers to Delver and Lightning Bolt and, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a lot of quick answers to a, Batterskull that's online.
Yeah.
Good games. I like seeing, you know, the Legacy Top 16 is always stacked so full of so many different fucking, decks that it's kind of refreshing. I'm not going to lie.
Pretty cool.
Yep. I wish Standard was a little more like that, although Standard right now is probably as healthy as it's been in a long time.
To be fair, I mean, as much as we rag on Standard, there's a tournament environment, and there's your, you know, more casual environment. My store is pretty spiky, but like the other week, I still played two fucking Pillow Fort, like, enchantment Nyx Fleece Ram decks, like, I mean, there's still people out there doing shit, and there's all kinds of funky brews and decks. There's Bant Walkers, people are still playing. I mean, Mazes End. I mean, there's a lot of shit that it just doesn't show up in these tournaments, but.
No, I mean, realistically, we probably go over about 12 different decks in the last 2 months for the top eights, and that's pretty damn good for Standard. I mean, it's not like it has been in the past a few times. Like, for everything I've ragged on Standard, this is one of the reasons I'm willing to jump back in, is because it is actually very healthy right now.
And something else to say about Standard right now is, it's for the first time that since I started playing the game, which wasn't, you know, all that long ago, it seems like the first time where literally any style of deck you want to play, be it control, mid-range, aggro, even fucking burn, everybody's favorite archetype seems really well covered and able to compete right now. This, I've never seen that before in this game. Like, we're literally, if you like control, you can top eight and win where they can, you know, a variety, in fact, of control decks right now. And same goes for any archetype. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, that's something I haven't seen, like, for so long. It was like Jund, and like Thrag Tusk variants and just like there wasn't, you know, Burn. I've never seen Burn compete. And now it's like, dude, Burn has been tearing it up for over a month now in Standard.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, it's very healthy right now. This is like why I'm willing to jump back into it, just because of that.
Yeah, I mean, literally, you like playing Junk. Junk is a viable fucking deck right now. Like,
yep.
It's crazy. Like, your mid-range, like, so I mean, people bag on Standard a lot, but man, I think that's cool as shit, and really, like you said, just totally healthy. Like, I know it a lot, some weeks it might not look like it, but it is totally healthy.
Yeah, if you really follow the, top eights, over a period of time, you know, yeah, you might see the same top eight 2 weeks in a row, but you rarely see it 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about a format when you can go, okay, there's adaptions being made every week. Yeah. Sure. There are those decks that just seem to be standbys, but you know what? 2 months ago, all we was talking about was Mono Black Devotion, and we don't really talk about it.
Yeah. I don't know if this saying is true, but I've heard before from players that when Burn is a competitive deck, that the format's generally, you know, pretty fun and wide open.
Yeah. That's actually pretty fair. It's actually a conspiracy. Ooh. So the full conspiracy spoiler came out. Ryan, you plan on buying any of this? I know you're not a big draft guy, but, dude.
I might, just for value, I might have to pick up a box because there is some really cool cards in here. Like,
do me a favor. When you buy said box, don't just crack it.
No, this is something.
Get some people over and actually draft the damn thing, because this set looks really good. We ain't got time to really go through every card, I don't think. But I think we can pick like a card from each color that we find cool that they either brought back or just a cool card in general.
Sure.
It's kind of pointless to try and go over like best vintage card, you know, our normal thing, because this is only going to be drafted. So, you know, none of these cards are Standard.
There's so many fucking legacy playables in this and that. Yeah, that's way too in depth for sure. I mean, right off the bat with white, I mean, I like just for the recent memories, Doom Traveler and Intangible Virtue. I mean,
no, that's a nice little combo that they put in there. In white, I like Rhea coming back, and that's just, you know,
so Rhea
Dawnbringer, 4/6, 4/9. Flying at the beginning of your upkeep, you may return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. If you ever stick this thing, you don't lose. And they also brought back Swords of the Plowshares. So those are a couple sweet things in blue and red that are white.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Swords is sick, man.
Yes. So, I mean, there's a couple reasons to buy cards. In blue, I mean, let's face facts. Right off the bat, I see Brainstorm.
Yep.
And Factor Fiction. So, is there anything in the blue that you, look at and go, holy hell?
I was gonna say there's some sweet commons, like, I like Compulsive Research, I don't even know if it's a good card, it just looks cool.
So Compulsive Research is pretty good.
I mean, yeah, Brainstorm and Factor Fiction are pretty much, you know, the real standouts for me.
Stifle's in there as well, like, that's worth actually bringing up.
Yeah, Favorable Winds, actually looking at this set seems like it might actually be pretty powerful in this format.
Yeah, baby. Yeah,
of course, Misdirection is another good one. Yeah, Misdirection is, I don't know how expensive it is right now, but it's not a cheap card.
No, so. It is not. And Stifle is the best Stone Rain ever printed. As long as there's fetch land, Stifle is amazing. So.
Is that new art on that Stifle?
Yes, that is.
Oh, that is sick, man.
Yeah, that's not like the Stifle I remember.
Yeah, she's like turning into Legos or something, it looks like.
Right. So let's move into black. I'm sure there's a couple cards that you really like in black. Although black is probably one of the weaker colors, there's still a couple really standouts in there.
Yeah, they're giving, like you guys talked about last week, black's getting a lot of love in Vintage Masters, so maybe not so much here. No, I don't really see anything. Smallpox is a cool card.
Smallpox is cool. It's a good draft card. Phage for just, you know, for those Vorthos out there, Phage is in this set as well. And Phage is insane.
I mean, Tragic Slip's good for draft. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's some, you know, seems like there's some decent removal.
Reckless Spite is really good.
Reckless Spite. Let me see that.
Destroy two target non-black creatures. You lose 5 life.
Yeah. That seems like a pretty fair trade-off, actually.
Yeah, when you need them to die, yeah, that's pretty good. Twisted Abomination being back in, that's actually a really good card. The Swamp Cycling is not. Don't overlook that.
Skeletal Scrying, that looks like it used to be in, I would guess, Suicide Black. That seems like a pretty sweet card.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, that's good.
Life. I mean, it's like the opposite of Sphinx's Revelation, but you're yep. still drawing a shit ton of cards.
So, how about Red, Rye?
Let's see. Well, I've always been a huge fan of Brimstone Volley right away. I think that's pretty good for draft. I don't know, man. I don't know enough about a lot of these older cards, like the reprints and some of the newer stuff. I don't really see anything all too exciting. Is Sulfuric Vortex supposedly a good card?
Sulfuric Vortex is not bad. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, I don't see anything that really excites me that much here in red.
If you're going to draft red, I can tell you one card right now that is really good. Boldwer Intimidator. Because cowards can't block warriors. And he is a warrior and he's a 5/5. He costs 7, but trust me, anytime I've drafted this thing, I've usually won.
Wait, is coward a creature type?
Yes, it is a type of creature. There are very few in the history of magic. And you can make things cowards. And then you can make other creatures warriors, so things just cannot block this thing ever.
That's pretty sweet. It does cost 7 mana, though, but...
Yeah, but once it comes down at that 7 mana, you have, like, at least 2 to 3 activations off of them to where it's just like, I'm going to hit you for 5 a turn, so you're on a clock. And, you know, being in red, typically you're already kind of... have on a clock. They also have Volcanic Fallout, which...
I was going to say Cinderwall looks pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, Cinderwall's it's ho-hum.
That seems like it'll be overlooked, actually. I mean, it's like a 1-mana removal spell, more or less.
Yeah, most of the time, that's what it usually turns out to be. It's usually ho-hum. Flaring Flamekin, that's a new one. I thought that was Flamekin Zealot. Oh, well. Power of Fire, Scourge. Okay, so let's move to green. Where there's some nice green cards.
Oh, I did want to say you briefly mentioned Volcanic Fallout. That is pretty sweet.
Boy. Oh yeah, Volcanic Fallout's insane.
That's really good.
So in green, I mean, this looks to be pretty well put together as far as drafting goes.
Yeah, there's an exploration.
There's a what?
Exploration. That's pretty fucking good.
Yes, that's really good. There's Pellucor Worm or Pellucor Worm. There is Terastodon. So, I mean, Wolfbriar Elemental, that card is actually very good. So, yeah, I mean, there's some decent cards in here. Secure Tribelder.
Sweet. Real quick, look at the art on Provoke in green. It looks like a badass Flip, or however you pronounce his name.
Yeah, Flip the Bib. Yes.
He's got his, yeah.
He's got poop on his face. You gotta love that.
Like a badass in this picture.
Well, somebody threw fucking shit at him. I mean.
Something, yeah.
It's a big pile of shit on the side of his face. Like, he's pretty pissed. Well, he should be. But yeah. Now we're gonna get into the cards that, oh my god. These multicolored cards, I'm just gonna start by saying Deed is back. Pernicious fucking Deed is back. I just want to draft that card. As soon as I see that card in the pack, I am going green black. I don't care how bad it is. I am going green black.
Pretty sweet.
What jumps out to you, sir?
I mean, a lot of these gold cards are really fucking good in this set. I mean, I think Jack Faden is obviously a really good planeswalker. I see a lot of sick cards for EDH. Shout out Ryan Tice. Like Bassandra, Battle Seraph, Brago, King Eternal. Like, there's a lot here to be excited about if you're Edric, Spymaster. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about here if you're an EDH player. And there's just a lot of really good, like, Brinzo, Dungeon Warden. There's a lot of good legendary creatures in this set, man. Marquesa is one that a lot of people are hyped about.
You also have a Arise Wake, which, dude, that card is good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
That card is good. There's Fires of Yavimaya at Uncommon. I mean, that was its own fucking archetype when it was in Standard. Mortify's in here, which, you know, when you want to kill an enchantment and a creature, we have Spirit Monger. I mean, there's some good cards.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see here. Artifacts. Most of these are crazy ones. Ooh, Radio Lantern. Silent Arbiter. I have used Silent Arbiter to piss people off to no end in EDH.
Huh. Huh. Silent Arbiter, what's that?
No more than, it's a 1/5 for 4. No more than one creature can attack each combat, and no more than one creature can block. It just causes stalemates. It's fun. Vedalken Ori is out. It
seems like one of those dirtily asshole cards.
Yeah, I'm kind of a griefer when I do play EDH. I've also used Redio Lantern to win games, so that should tell you something. Yeah. Redio Lantern and Tunnel Vision is an auto win in Commander.
Huh.
Vedalken Ori, I mean, that's a real card. Like, that's no joke.
Huh. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. For only 4 mana, that seems fair. Yeah, some decent artifacts, man. Yeah, I like
ice. I love the lands.
Yeah, I like a lot of the conspiracy ones, like Lore Seeker, Cogwork Librarian. Those, you know, these seem pretty sweet. The ones that have effects when you draft them.
Yeah, Explorer's Scope, which is pretty good. Deal Broker. Yeah, interesting. The lands, I mean, it has Mirrodin's Core. It has Polanio, the High City, which we went over last week. Quicksand and Reflecting Pool. Duh.
Reflecting Pool.
Yeah. Add one mana to your mana pool of any type of land you control could already produce. Yeah, dude, that card, that with, what the hell are those lands called? I forget, but from Lorwyn. That created 5 color control all on its own.
Okay, Reflecting Pool did. I'm looking at it and not seeing why it's a good card, I guess. Like, cause especially if you want another color, but I suppose if your first land is like a shock or something, that's pretty good. Well,
you're not playing this typically first. If you have, excuse me, you know, one of those things, it's like, okay, Mirrodin's Core. Let's just go right there. You can remove a charge counter and add a mana of any color to your mana pool. So if you do draft a Reflecting Pool, you pick up one of these uncommon Mirrodin cores, and guess what? That Reflecting Pool now taps for anything, regardless of whether the core has a counter on it or not, because it technically could do it.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a reason right there. And then there's these crazy-ass cards at the end here. These are the ones you'll never be allowed to play in any format but this. These hidden agenda cards, conspiracy cards, you know, these are ill.
Yeah, I love, right off the bat, man, the first one, Advantageous Proclamation. So your minimum deck size is reduced by 5. So you're going in a draft with much leaner deck.
Yeah, but in multiplayer, is that good? Because a lot of times games go really long.
Sure. I mean, it depends how bomb heavy you can get, I guess. Like, I mean, if you're playing cards that are just very hard to deal with.
I'm a big fan of this backup plan.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet too.
It's like, you know, just draw 2 hands to start the game and pick the one you like better.
Yeah. That is pretty fucking sweet actually. And you get to shuffle it back into your library. You don't have to put it on the bottom or anything. So if you did have some sweet cards in one hand but the other one was just better, it's not like you're never going to see those cards at all. Like,
yeah, you're not losing nothing. That's actually, it's pretty cool. Secrets of Paradise seems pretty good. You can turn any one drop into a Bird of Paradise. You can add, you know, name a card, and when you play it, and it becomes basically a bird. You can tap it for anything. And let's face facts, if it's a one drop, that's what you're probably going to want to use it for. This looks like a really fun set to draft. It looks really well put together as far as draft goes. And yeah, like you said, there are some legacy staples in it that make you go, maybe I should buy some of this.
Yeah, it's worth picking up a box of, and having a good time with your buddies for sure.
Absolutely. Drink some beers, smoke some cigars, and then sit back and play some conspiracy. A little bit of a downer, but you know, at the same time, the community has been amazing to this point. There is a girl, Maria is her name.
Is it Maria or Mariah? I don't want to mess this up.
I believe it's Maria. I'm not 100% sure, but just a couple days ago, they were at like 10% of their goal. Now they're up to 49%. They're trying to gain 75 grand for this girl. She's a Magic player. She has gone to tournaments. She's legit. She got hit by a car and she will not ever walk again. She has about 75 grand worth of medical bills right now, and they're asking the community to go ahead and please help them out. I know when I first saw this, Onar, I believe his name is. I'm probably butchering his name.
No, it's Onar.
But he sent this link to me, and you know, I gave what I could. There has been some people in the community who are worth giving a shout out to, because they have done a lot more and it's worth recognizing these people. But more or less, I will have this link in the show notes. If anybody out there wants to help donate, they have 89 days left on this. Please help this girl out. I mean, she's one of our own. We got to look out for our own. I will say Brad Nelson. And Ryan, you're going to have to say something nice about the man here. He played, his original statement was he was going to play for 24 hours. Then they started getting him drunk for money.
Oh, no.
And he only made it about 18. But what he did was he was basically doing anything for donations from people. And then on top of that, while he was playing MTGO and streaming, every time he won a game, he was given 10 bucks.
Sweet.
So he shelled out some cash. I mean, he sold some cards while he was doing it. Like, he legitimately, like, he went out of his way and he shelled out some real cash towards this girl's medical fund. And, you know, he needs to be, for all the shit you give him, you know what?
Hedgehog came through, did a good deed.
I mean, this is something you have to recognize the good
ones. Yeah, dude, I'm not an asshole. I don't like the guy. I'm not going to discredit some good shit. Like, that's cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear you say something good about him or nice about him. You know, it's just one of those things. But no, he did that. There's other players out there doing some things. The link is also on the Pidents fan page. You might have to scroll down a little bit to find it, but it is definitely there. Please help this girl out. She's going through some stuff right now, and her parents are having a hard time paying for it. You know, America does not have, or the United States does not have, you know, socialized medicine, you know, really.
Don't get me started.
I'm not. Just be quiet. So this family needs help. Please help them.
For sure.
That's all I really have to say about it. And again, the links will be in the show notes and the link is on the fan page. So please, by all means, give something. Now to, I don't even know how to segue out of that, Ryan. Get better.
Sad news. I mean, but the amount of support is amazing. I was on there earlier and they're watching some of the donations come in, pretty sweet. So
yeah, I mean, I did not give much at all, but I gave what I could, you know, and I think if everybody just gives what they can, a dollar will help. $5.
You get 4,000 people donating a dollar.
Yeah. That's a real deal. You know, like that's no joke.
Significant money.
I mean, so the next time you're thinking, hey, I'm going to buy this song on iTunes that costs me, you know, 99 cents, just give it to her. Buy that next check. You know, I mean, this family needs it and I hope she gets better. And I, you know, even though she won't walk again, I hope to see her at a GP sometime.
For sure.
You know, I really think that the community will, you know, judging by how much money has already been thrown into it, I'm pretty sure the community would love to see her show up at a GP sometime soon. So get back, Maria. Okay, Ryan, now this is one of those things we used to do all the time on dead weeks or on slower weeks. Because we've been going over these decks so much and there really hasn't been too much of a change, I think this is a good time to actually have a show topic, which typically we don't have show topics legitimately, folks. We just kind of,
Are you springing something on me?
A little bit. So, what we're going to do is we're going to basically discuss the general state of Magic, and that's pretty much all formats. We'll spend about 10 minutes talking about this, and hopefully, you know, you guys agree or disagree or just hate us.
Can I talk about the general state of Magic in terms of players?
If you want to touch on players, we can do that as well. I mean, depends on the community, we can touch on everything.
So sick of the white knighting bullshit. Fuck.
Yeah, so am I.
If somebody's an asshole, they're an asshole. If they're nice people, they're nice people. That's fucking all there is to it. Like, Jesus Christ, like, just because you're different does not give you the right to be an asshole. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair point. There's a lot of good people in the community. There's a lot of bad people in the community. It's just like any other community of people where, you know, you lump X thousand people together and you're just going to have some real douchebags and you're going to have some really good people. It's just, I think overwhelmingly, as far as the community goes, it's more good people than bad people, but clearly there's some douchebags.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And then there's Reed Duke, who stands exemplary among all of us.
Oh yeah. He is above all men. but in general, like, I mean, I like to go over, you know, the general state of limited once in a while. And right now, it's pretty good. I will say when it was like drafting Triple Theros, like that could be drafting. It was okay. Sealed was horrendous. And now that all the sets are out, actually both formats, sealed and draft, is pretty damn fun.
I so, like it, man. Dude, I've bagged on this format so much. I might surprise you here. The one great thing about limited, I think, that I've overlooked especially, and maybe this goes to how I'm just kind of changing as a player too and starting to care less about like the decks I see online and more about the deck I want to play and like the cards I want to play with. Not that I'm always going to be a fucking spike dude because I play to win the game, but I'm more like making more individualized choices in my decks and like not just, you know, copying things verbatim and just trying a lot of different things and making
my
more
little tests. Ryan is growing.
Yes. It's just things that are more fun and just to see their interactions. And limited, man, is that one environment that I've took for granted where you get to see, like you and Kelso talked about last week, you see crazy interactions. Like y'all were talking about legacy, but it went for limited too in your discussion that like you get to see cards and play against cards that you'll never see otherwise in a competitive tournament environment. And like you get to do different things and it's like total like, dude, like going to a sealed event, that's like a fucking, like, what are those like players that love just building crazy shit? Johnny's or Timmy's?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like paradise for them, man. Like, yeah, just getting to see, you know, different things. Like, it's cool as fuck to me, man. Like, I think I'm kind of expanding my horizons a bit as far as the game goes. And like, you know, there's more things to see and it's not all about just like, okay, if it didn't top eight last week, fuck it, you know?
Yeah, to be legitimately good at a draft format, okay, and let's just say we have M15 coming out, okay? And let's say...
I'm excited about.
Yeah, I am too. But let's just say, and I don't know the total number of cards, so please don't, you know, send me a letter saying, oh, there's this many. But let's say there's 301 cards in it with the lands. You have to be good at this format, you have to play with all 301 cards to really see what each one legitimately does. You can't just look at something on the face and go, yeah, this is crap. Because there might be an interaction in there that you're just not missing when you first look at it. And, you know, a lot of times you won't actually see it until in game and you go, holy shit, these two cards work well together. Even though both of them are bad cards, they work really well together. And that's the thing that I like about limited is the fact that, you know, especially when you get in like a, excuse me, a triple set block, you know, there's like 600 cards in the block. You know, and if it's a, like a small, if it's a big, small, big, I mean, you know, there can be 800 cards in it. And, you know, dude, to actually know what 800 cards do at any time, plus actually have to memorize all 800 of them as far as, okay, what could he have at this moment to beat me? And to actually remember them all, it's just like, holy hell. I mean, I still get shocked all the time. I lost to Faded Retribution the other day because who the hell plays Faded Retribution?
Yeah. In limited?
Yeah, even in limited, it's just cost so much that a lot of times people just kind of, eh.
No, I mean, that's what I mean. Someone actually played that in limited. That's like, I don't know, man. That's pretty fucking terrible for limited.
Yeah, but it blew me out. Like, I overextended my board. Like, I thought I had the game just, you know, like pretty much won. Yeah. And it was like, you know, he cast a Johnny's Presence on one creature and then played Faded Retribution. And I went, fuck my life. Because, you know, he had a creature, I had really nothing. We both basically had empty hands at that point, but he had that one creature on the board, and it's like, okay, now we're playing off the top deck, and I don't have too many answers for his flyer. You know, so, like, that's one of the cool things about limited. We already basically stated how we both feel about standard. It's pretty damn good right now, for all the ragging that everybody does on standard. Trust me, there's been far worse periods of time when standard has been out there. Far worse. This is actually pretty damn nice. You can play what you want.
I think you guys mentioned Cobblade the other week.
Oh my god.
I'm glad I wasn't around then. I did, when I come into the game, catch the back end of the like blue white Delver phenomenon, you know, the fucking Rune Chanter's Pike bullshit, all that. Like, I did get the tail end of that. So I did have to endure that for a month or so, but I mean, yeah, so I could, you know, I'm definitely not complaining. And like I said, I'm starting to play different stuff and weird shit and just doing what I want. Like, there's a lot of fun to be had right now in this format. There's a lot of weird decks. I mean, there's some weird combo decks out there. I mean, you could really honestly go to your FNM and be competitive with like a $20 Bog Brew Witch deck.
Yeah. Yeah. Strange as that sounds, you're absolutely right. It's, standard's cool right now. And, you know, and there's something to be taught from basically what you just said is there's a lot of fun to be had in this game. You don't always have to, especially at an FNM. I mean, what are you putting down on standard? $5? Sometimes, you know, once a month or whatever, it's okay to go to an FNM going, okay, I'm not planning on winning this, but I'm going to have fun tonight and just take a deck that is just a blast for you to play. That you might only win one game all night, but you know damn well when you win that game, the person across from your jaw is going to be on the table just like, you motherfucker. And you get the joy of going, hee hee.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I mean, I've been a snob about the game, I guess. That's just not the way to be, man. Like, there's a lot of fun, cool shit. And I guess I'm blaming, like, just jumping right into the whole spike scene that, like, you know, that kind of overlooked a lot of what the game's about.
You reacted the way a lot of young spikes react. That's just, and you know what? That's legitimate. Like, if you want to get good in a hurry, you want to play with the best decks. So,
one thing that's kind of helped out too is like, so I play like a real cheap deck in Modern, but it's like, you know, performing really well. And so, it's like, wow, if I could get away with this in Modern with something cheap, like,
why can't I do it in Standard? I can remember in Standard back in the day, and I'm going back here. This is like Planar Chaos era. There was a few decks that everyone just knew, okay, these decks are good. And like, I had won quite a few tournaments with, I believe it was Dorn. And one week I just decided I was going to go have fun. So I built this crazy boom bust deck.
Okay.
And it had like Taurian Maulers in it and Countryside Crushers, but it basically like really rolled around boom bust. Dude, I won the whole damn tournament with this deck because nobody was ready for it. And it wasn't a bad deck. It wasn't a good deck. It was just like a deck that nobody was ready for. And I come with this crazy brew. Everybody's like, okay, we know what he's going to be running. And then I show up with this thing and was able to house it. So that happens once in a while too. And dude, that thing was a blast to run. To just destroy everyone's lands. Like, that was fucking great. But yeah. Again, I'm a bit of a griefer.
I mean, we had a guy show up to FNM a couple weeks ago that trolled and got like second place with a deck that had zero win conditions in it. It was like just Sphere of Safeties, a bunch of enchantments.
People quit.
No, his win condition was two Ethereal Armors and whatever creature, be it Courser or Nyxfleece Ram, that he could put it on.
That is actually kind of awesome. I like that.
Yeah, and it was so funny that like if you like it got to a point where, well, if he couldn't kill you with the Ethereal Armor, dude, like he just wait, like you literally, I played him and I couldn't attack unless I tapped 28 lands. And I had 28 lands in my fucking deck. But he got out all four spheres, and yeah.
I've actually drafted against decks like that who had a bunch of spheres, and I'm like, I have to spend 12 to.
It was annoying as shit. It was so annoying. It kind of, it put me on tilt a little bit, but after game one, I was like, you know what? This dude's just here having fucking fun. I'm not going to rag on him or his deck. Like, I'm just going to fucking play loose and who fucking cares? It's funny as shit. Like, and then sure enough, like game two got to a stall where it was just like, all right, how many cards are in your library? How many are in mine? Okay. Who's going to draw the last card first kind of thing? Like,
and you did the math and said, damn it. Went first.
I was going to deck myself before I could do anything about it. We had like literally like less than, we had like around 18 cards or something left. And it was a big, huge mess and fucking, I couldn't attack because of all the spheres out. And yeah, he kept playing the thing where you got to pay mana at your upkeep or sacrifice it. And he kept putting those on my dudes. And yeah, it was fucking nuts. But that kind of experience, though, it's like, you know what? I'm going to do some crazy shit. Like, I've done crazy shit before, but it's been a really long time. So yeah, I was like, that kind of, you know, changed my perspective a little bit. I thought I could, it's sometimes it's funny to go and troll the store.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely fun to troll a whole store. It's beautiful.
You gotta wait. You should have seen people scrambling between matches. What's his win condition? Like, what the fuck is he doing? Like
he's beating you with a Nyxfleece Ram.
And an Ethereal Armor and no one could figure it out. And they were like, does he run four Ethereal Armors? I'm like, I don't know. Like, No one fucking knows. I think he actually said he only ran two, which I thought was just fucking...
Yeah, another troll.
Yeah, another troll. Like, really? Oh, you only have two of those in your deck? And then, like, oh, there was another guy there playing a very similar deck, and he just, his one win condition was one Elspeth, and it either worked or it didn't. And if it didn't work, he had Sphere of Safeties, and it got to where whoever just milled themselves first, pretty much.
Oh, that's absurd. Let's see. I've been playing a lot of blocks, so I can actually talk about block right now, and... You know what? I've been having a lot of fun playing block, even though I'm getting my teeth kicked in left and right.
What do you think about Bug going forward, man? Bug's kind of being a, creeping up as a boogeyman. It won the GP. Excuse me. Won the GP. Is Bug like, is that a real thing you think going forward in standard maybe, or?
It could be. I've only actually played against Bug once or twice so far. And
is it not on the online? Is it not an online? Because it's everywhere at the tournaments.
Yeah, you know what? You don't see it a lot online, and a lot of that is because a lot of the block players online just jam together something cheap. Because the standard players are playing standard. You know, they're the ones who have a lot of these cards, where the block players, a lot of them just jam together something cheap and just, you know, play against the field. So it's a lot quicker online than what it is, than what's showing up at these tournaments. But even that being said, holy hell, I mean, some of these decks I've seen, I can see Bug being a major player. I can see Junk being a major player going forward. I can see, Green Red Elspeth being a major player, or Naya, or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, some of these fast decks, like the Blue White and the, White Red, like, they're real. Like, you can't stumble against them or you lose. So, I mean, they're good decks. I can see all of them maybe seeing some play, but, again, we have to see what the next set brings us to really be on that. The only true thing I've taken from this is Sylvan Caryatids and Courser of Kruphix and Eidolon of Blossom is going to see a lot of play in the upcoming standard. Like, those are the cards. It's just like, okay, you're going to need these.
That card was impressive this weekend at SCG too. Every time, like, it was on camera, I went ahead and I was lucky. I think I got a play set for 10 bucks.
Of what, Eidolon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eidolon's actually pretty good, especially because if you're already running Courser, that's more incentive to just go ahead and jam in a couple Eidolons, because it's going to draw you cards. You know, you're going to draw a couple. Because Courser, you know, you're going to be playing your Coursers. And even, you know, drawing one's not terrible. You know, you still get that ball, you still get that 2/2 and draw a card for 4 mana. That's not bad. But it does set up, like, if you go next turn Courser, it's like, oh, okay, now, you know, I'm drawing again and again. And before you know it, it can really become an engine where it's just like, holy hell, I'm going to go ahead and just draw everything.
Oh yeah, it's insane. I've seen people come very close to decking themselves.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it does have a very powerful engine there that, you know, at first everyone was like, holy hell, this is going to be insane. And then everyone was like, yeah, you better tone that back. And now people are beginning to realize, holy hell, this is kind of insane. So, like, that's kind of what I'm getting for a future standard. Like, legitimately, I mean, Elspeth's still going to be good. Prognostic Sphinx is going to be good. It's going to be better because of Elspeth. But this is really going to come down to what type of mass removal do we get as well, because if there's a Wrath of God that's, you know, cost 4, Prognostic Sphinx isn't going to be as good. So, but yeah.
I actually like that for control, though. They drop the Wrath on 4 and then stabilize with the Sphinx on 5.
Yeah, but it's going to come out in the mirror matches. You know what I mean? Because of that.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, but then you're going to put in Brimoz in a lot of those decks, so that's fine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we know Legacy is just Legacy. I would like to see a little less Delver running around, Legacy right now, just because it's beginning to become old.
Yeah. Play more Pyroclasms, people. Just like something that deals 2 damage to Delvers. Like, fuck. That's all you need. That's all you need. Fucking run gut shot. I don't know.
2 damage is the threshold for Legacy. Like, 2 damage. That's the threshold.
Yeah.
Run those cards.
Lightning Bolt's not getting it done.
It's just not enough of them, it seems like. I mean, yeah, you do have cards that you can't deal with just straight burn, like the green one drop. I can't think of the name of it. Folks, you know what I'm talking about. Yep. Green one drop. Nimble Mongoose, yes. Thank you. But yeah,
I know a little bit about Legacy.
Yeah, like Mongoose, yeah, the burn decks have an issue with that, but And, you know, Goyf just gets too big for, like, Burn to really deal with. But, like, 90% of the cards in Legacy, if they're not killing you on that turn, like, they're playing cards that it's, like, it has a toughness of two most of the time. So, yeah. Come on, just kill that stuff. And please, run more Stifle.
For sure, and maybe even, what's the one spell, not the one that's banned. You corrected me on this before. Spell Pierce, or...
Spell Pierce is good.
That's not the one that's banned, is
no,
it?
That's the one for an extra, you have to use an extra mana to cast it, to cast your spell, or it's countered. That's a fine card in the format, because people are so low on lands, like, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I like Spell Pierce a lot, and I don't... I mean, it shows up in a few decks, but not across, like, not in the range. I think, I don't know, it was you or Kelso last week who said that just more counter spells in general for Legacy.
The problem with that is, like, and it's really like a double-edged sword, but this is the nice thing about Legacy is the fact that you do have that rotating door, and if you do decide to go into a more counter spell thing, the storm decks will rise to the top. Not necessarily the combo decks, but the storm decks definitely. Because they're just like, okay, I'm going to ignore, like, most of your counter spells. They're not a big deal to me. All they're doing is ticking up my storm count. But, you know, for the straight combo decks, it just beats them.
Yeah.
Just being able to say no beats them. And I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, but, you know, that's Legacy, and it's fun.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
It made kind of something different. State of R&D, man.
Okay.
Particularly.
Let me just start. Okay, particularly what?
Well, I was going to say particularly the color blue.
I think the color blue is off. I will say this. I've said nothing but good things about most of the formats right now. So the state of R&D is obviously pretty good. I don't think, however, the color pie is fixed. I think the color pie is still a little off because, like, blue doesn't act like blue.
Do you think that's just taking the game in a different direction?
I really do. They like attaching spells to creatures now, which...
Yeah, that's what I see.
Okay, I think it's... I think it adds more to the game when spells are spells and creatures are creatures and they're not attached to each other, simply because, like, it adds more variance off the top of the deck. Like, you have to draw the card you need in this situation. You know what I mean? Especially, like, if you're running a legitimate control deck.
Yeah.
Once you start stacking, you know, all, like we were saying earlier about the Eidolon, or is that what it's called? The 2/2 that destroys an enchantment. Keening Apparition. So, like, you know, okay, that's a really, because it's a 2/2, like, that's not bad. You get a bear, but it also has this side ability where, you know, at common, which back in the day, this would be a rare card, like, hands down, this would be a rare. But it has this side effect where it's just like, okay, it also has a disenchant attached to it that all you have to do is just get rid of your bear and you can destroy something, you know, rather powerful. Where back in the day, like, you could have your bear out, but you still needed your disenchant to back that up, or your oxidize or something like that.
Shit, when the game came out, a 2/2 for 2 would have been a rare.
No, not necessarily. I mean, that's why they call it a bear, because that's right.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding, man. But yeah, it was the, you know, they weren't as common as they are now, but yeah, definitely the things attached to them is where I see the game going. It's weird to see, like this new M15 card, Paragon of the Gathering Mist, other blue creatures you control get +1/+1. Like, that just, to me,
that's not blue.
That's not blue at all. Like, I don't understand that. Like, it's very weird to me. And I wonder, like, I hope they don't, like, print that blue card with a spell attached that's, like, too powerful, and then blue becomes, like, you know, I want them to find this balance, but it's like, while they're trying to find this balance, they're taking away, you know, that, the, you know, blue's essence, I guess.
Well, they made that mistake once already, where they made that blue spell that was a creature that had something attached to it that was too powerful, and that was Spell Stutter Sprite.
Okay, I thought you were
where
about
it was to just like, damage. Where it was just like counter target spell for 2 mana, you know, where the opponent has to pay X, which is X is equal to the amount of fairies that you had. Well, in a fairy deck with Bitter Blossom.
Yeah, that's a straight up counter spell.
It countered everything. Like, you never had enough mana. Like, you might be able to play a 1-drop on turn 9. You know what I mean? And at that point, it's a bit too late that your 1-drop's gonna do a damn. So, like, They've made that mistake once. I'm really expecting at some point to see counter target spell on a 2/2 for 4 mana. And I think, yeah, with Flash, I think that'll be pushing it a little bit, but they got to almost.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I think Magic is at this, R&D is at this very interesting place right now in terms of, it seems like they got the other colors kind of figured out. They've been pushing black really strong lately. I mean,
green has gotten a lot better than it's ever been.
Green has too, but I mean, in looking at the spoilers so far of M15, like black again is another very like pushed color. Blue though, I think they're just in this weird place where
you know what it is?
It's an identity crisis, kind of. Like, it's really weird. Like, I hear a lot of old school players, it's kind of like a turn off for, like.
Oh, it drives me bananas. And this is really where this comes from, is all the players who don't play blue, they are very loud about blue, about how much they hate playing against blue.
That's wrong and that's stupid. Like, I don't.
But you know what? You hear enough.
Counterspell.
Yeah, but you hear enough of those complaints and they do something about it. That's why there's no Stone Rain anymore. Apparently destroying target land for 3 mana is just too powerful, and it's not.
Yeah. No, Boil was too powerful. Stone Rain compared to Boil is fucking fair. Like,
yeah, and Stone Rain is fair.
Destroy instant speed, destroy all lands. Like, that's crazy in a deck where you play a bunch of fast dudes and then you don't need lands and your opponent can never catch up again. Like, that's different. Stone Rain was a good card, like, when I played it when I was like a little guy, like fucking Stone Rain was played and it was never like, never was oppressive or anything. Like, I like a lot of those old school cards. They make the game what made the game like it's a game of chess, man. Like, they're supposed to be back and forth and, you know, things to play around and whatnot, and taking away counterspell and things like that. And, you know, now you don't have to play around fucking 2-mana counterspell in standard. You got to play around 3-mana counterspell. Like, that's just, I don't know, man. Quit changing the game. Like,
yeah. When they said mana leak was too powerful, like I about shit my pants. I was like, what?
Mind blowing. Have you ever drawn a mana leak late game and been like fucking super thrilled? No.
No, it's not Runesnag. Now Runesnag was, for 2 mana, that might have been too powerful because it only got better later in the game. What Runesnag did was, it basically was a mana leak the first time you cast it. They had to pay 2 extra, or their spell was countered. However, every time you cast one, it counted the amount of, Runesnags in your graveyard. And it went up 2 more for every Runesnag in your graveyard. So the last one you counted.
A few cards. There was, what was the red? Was it Kindle or something that for every one of those in your graveyard, it did?
Yeah, it did like an extra damage. But yeah. Runesnag got to the point where late in the game, you had to pay 8. On your last Runesnag of a game, somebody would have to pay 8 to actually use that spell. That spell is powerful. Like, I can see because of the scale up. But yeah. Like, Mana Leak, I mean, past turn like 5 or 6, it can be miserable.
Yeah, it's not very good. And like anyone who complains about that stuff, like I feel like are part of the fucking problem. Like,
they're not the solution.
It's like you can't. That's like a part of the game. Like, blue does have some overpowered stuff, but I think at this point now every color has one thing or another that's overpowered. Like, I right now it seems like they're just, like I said, like in this identity crisis with blue and can't figure out what's going on. And it's because people complain. It's the people that complain that want these, like, oh, I just want these creature battles and, oh, dude, smash your dudes. And like, it's fucking like.
It's taken something away from Magic. It really has. It
really has. Like,
but you know, anybody who taps blue man is evil. So
I play this game because I'm an adult and I like mental stimulation. Like counterspells and stuff give you that. Like, I don't even fucking play blue. I don't like blue. Like, it's not my color. Like, you'll fucking never catch me playing blue probably. It's just not my thing. Like, but it's not my thing. I'm not going to complain about it because counterspells and shit are some people's thing. Like,
yeah, it's a part of the game, or it should be a part of the game. It's not as much anymore.
Yeah, I like
it. It makes you think out your play lines.
Yeah, the colors kind of used to represent like unique personalities, and now they don't anymore. Like, blue is like the schizophrenic cousin, like, you kind of hear about, like, he does some cool shit now and again. I mean, you get like Sphinx's Revelation and shit, but even that's not a strictly blue card, like.
No, they had to attach the white to it. Yeah, it's, Yeah, I miss old school blue. I do believe the rest of the colors, like red is red right now. Like red is so red. Green has never been more green. Like it's really cool that green's good, because back in the day, green just was never good. It had the biggest creatures, but it just wasn't good. Black has gotten very black and very powerful. I am a bit disconcerted about, all the card drawing in all colors. You know, like attaching cantrips to like everything, and green drawing cards like crazy off Eidolona Blossoms. Dude, Eidolona Blossoms is a blue card.
Yeah, or I mean, even like there's Derek, draw a bunch of cards to your hand, basically. Like,
yeah, these are, I mean, like, Eidolona Blossoms flat out, that's a blue card. I don't care how you look at it, that is a blue card. So if you're playing that and you're playing it in green and you say, oh, I don't like blue, I don't like islands, guess what? You're playing a blue card. No way around it. 4-mana 2/2 that draws a card is a blue card. It just happens to be green.
When I first saw it, I thought they had the wrong color, but I was like, no, they just don't have the enchantment support in blue, so they put it in green. Like, that's kind of how I felt, like, is that they were, like, confused with that card. Like, well, shit, like, we made this for blue, but there's not enough fucking synergy, and we just made all these fucking green enchantments, and shit, we gotta make it green now. Like, I really honestly feel like that's what happened with that card, man. Now that you mentioned, like, bring that up, like, that's exactly how I felt. Like, was like, well, that was a big mistake, because they fucking realized they hadn't balanced their enchantments across the colors. Like, yes, I know blue has some enchantments and detention sphere and claustrophobia and shit, there is, but enchantments have not been pushed in blue like they have some of these other colors, especially green.
Right, yeah, so I mean, I don't know. But we good on this? I think we're good on this.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on where you think the game, as far as particularly blue, as a color is kind of going. And
yeah, blue's not blue anymore, and that's sad. But folks, if you can remember back about, oh, I don't know, 3 months ago, I announced something about a logo contest, and I said you had till June 2nd to get your submissions in. I did receive about, I don't know, 25 submissions total. And I've narrowed these down with the help of my wife to a final 3. And I'm going to put these up on the Pinips podcast page, these final 3, and you guys get to vote for them. Either one of these I would be more than happy to have as our new logo. But when you're voting for them, consider the fact that I want to be able to do merch with these. Some of these are going to be easier to put on merch than others. And, you know, the more colors that are on it and the more in-depth detail it is, truth be told, the more money it's going to cost you to get a shirt. Because as soon as we pick one of these, I am going to start a campaign on Teespring to put some shirts out for you guys. So take all of this into consideration. But congratulations to Steven Raphael, also known as Steve Raffle on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I need to get at that dude, too. He asked me something about, I need him to, Steve, man, I need a fucking avatar, bro.
Yeah. One of your 3 submissions has been cleared for the finals. I liked 2 of them a lot, but one of them stood out.
Is it one of you, is there one of you riding a naked me?
No, that's going to be our playmat.
Okay.
Yeah, he said something about that, and I went, okay, dude, if you want to make a playmat for us, fuck it. okay, also, congratulations to Adam Keener. He's a member of the posse, and he's known as Pit Scorpion on Twitter.
Yeah, hey, Adam, also props to you, man. He just finished 9th at a PTQ, very, very close to top 8, man.
And it was a stacked PTQ.
Dude, did you see that top 8, man?
Yes.
3 huge names. Yeah, fucking A, Adam Keener, props, dude, props. And thanks again for sharing your story with us on the page. We love when you guys do that. So, hell yeah, dude, way to rep.
Yeah, but congrats to him. He is one of the finalists.
Yeah.
And our last finalist is 1866, also known as 1866 on Twitter. He sent me a pretty good one as well. These are the 3 that, you know, between me and the wife, we decided we was going to choose one of these. We was going to choose a few of these. And again, these are going to be up on the fan page. So if you are a member of the posse or you're not a member of the posse, join the posse if you want to vote for one of these. Again, I would be proud to have any of these 3 as our new logo, man, because I'm telling you, I know Ryan has only, of the 3 I've mentioned, you've probably seen them all. But I know for a fact I've only sent you one of them. The rest of them have kind of just showed up on Twitter here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's some pretty bad, these are three fairly badass, final, logos that I chose. So by all means, folks, you know, please get on there. Please vote. Please let me know which one you want. In about 2 weeks, I will announce the actual winner and we'll see where this goes. Somebody's going to get a check for $100 and we're going to get new shirts. Cool.
Oh yeah.
Fuck yeah. So Ryan, you gotta buy a shirt, bro. And Megan actually has to buy one this time too, cause it'll be on Teespring. She'll have no excuse.
Megan, you hear that?
She'll have no excuse of, oh well, I keep forgetting to get a hold of you and this and that. No. Just go on Teespring, spend your $17 and get one of these. That's about the average for one of those. And that goes for everybody else.
She said you better have small sizes then.
It's Teespring. They have everything.
Okay. Cause that's why she hasn't ordered one from the first run, is because they were all like large.
Yeah. Large and extra large. I know. Yeah. But those, I don't know. I had to get what I could get.
Hey, I love mine, man. I rep mine almost every F&M.
Yeah. Great. I actually wish I had a double XL, which kind of sucks. They just, I don't know, just because of the way I'm built, like they sit on my shoulders high, so they don't quite go as long as I'd like it to.
In the back, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of an issue. Yeah, I sit down and my butt crack hangs out, so yeah.
No good.
That's a thing. So what you been up to, bro, aside from, you know, like eating bad tuna and shit?
Yeah, eating bad tuna. It was fucking pretty awful experience. I'm like afraid to eat at Jimmy John's again, which, you know, kind of sucks because I love that establishment. I mean, really, back to work. Didn't go to Indy this weekend like I wanted to. Really just had to spend money elsewhere. So, that and I got way too wasted on Friday night. So,
how'd that go?
Friday night was actually pretty fucking nuts. I don't know if any of, you know, anybody in the posse, if y'all watched the Big Bang Theory.
Dude, this is a game we've called Magic the Gathering full of nerds. I think most of them probably watched the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. So I had a blast getting drunk, with the homeboy Kunal, who plays Raj on the show. He's in town here working on a movie. You know, pretty fucking cool. Went out, had some drinks, took them around downtown to a few of the bars and shit. Yeah, it was fucking funny as shit. Some things I can't talk about here on the cast, but, got some cool ass pictures and shit. And, dude was funny as fuck. So shout out to Kunal. Yeah, it was fucking awesome. So that's about it. I mean, that's a pretty interesting weekend, fun Friday night. I mean, unfortunately I didn't get to play Magic, but I mean, how often do you get to get wasted with a celebrity? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it happens, not as much as most people would like it. I know I've, you know, had my opportunities at that a couple times, but most people never get them. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool as shit, and he's a real stand-up guy. Hopefully, maybe, fingers crossed, I can convince him to come on here and sit with us for at least, I doubt I could get him for a full show, but at least give us a few minutes or something, say what's up, and, you know, he's a huge nerd, so, yeah. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Been playing some Modern, too. Did quite a bit of testing with Megan last night. She's working on, you know, her pod deck. It's completely built, but, yeah, changing some cards here and there. Thinking it's, like I mentioned earlier, probably not going with Orzhov Ponyv. You know, probably going to slip in an Athreos and change some things. I think, what did you have last night? Cartel Aristocrat? Yeah, she added a Cartel Aristocrat just as another, I don't know, I guess she didn't feel like Viscerous here was enough of a sack outlet and, you know, wanted another one, I guess. So that's fair. It's not my deck, but yeah.
Ban pod.
Don't ban pod, man. Especially after the girl just invested in it. You know what I mean?
I know, man. I know.
So, I mean, I don't know what else runs cards like Noble Hierarch right now in the format. I don't really see it in anything else, but. Yeah, that would suck to not get to play with like these $60 cards and shit, and like Court of Calling's expensive. I don't know what else you play that in. And so, yeah, don't ban pod. That would be bad.
Yeah, it would be bad for you.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I think pod just rewards good players. I see plenty of fucking shit players at pod that don't ever do shit with it. And if they win, it's cause they just got lucky, like, and strung something together. It's,
Oh, I know what you mean, dude. I mean.
Like, I sit here with Megan, who has a notebook, literally game one last night. She filled out 2 pages of notes.
I'm just busting your balls, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of in-depth learning, like, the deck takes, and that she has to, it's really, I'm not going to lie, it's annoying to sit across when we're playtesting, because she has to write out, like, every potential line of play, turn after turn after turn. And then, you know, sometimes I'll be kind and we'll back the game up and we'll start on another line or something. You know what I mean? Just those are.
That's really nice of you. Like, I mean, to sit there and like deal with that realistically, because like I know like with my old lady, when we're playing games together and she's going question, 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 question. I'm just like, after about 10 minutes of that, I'm like, I just want to play.
Yeah. And I'm like. I'm like, you can't possibly take in this song. And then she goes, no, actually, because I could do this, or I could do this, or I could do this, or I could pod this way and chain into this and do this, or if I get this in my graveyard, if I pod to 5, I revel arc this or this. It's just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, those are all real.
And, that's the kind of, so, and I don't mind, like, because that's the deck that she's invested in and is taking the time to learn. So I'm trying to be as supportive as I can and just bite my tongue. And cause I'm playing mono white death and taxes. Like I always have, I know my deck. So when the other person is going real slow, it's kind of irritating. You know what I mean? So it takes some patience to sit there while someone writes out, you know, 2 pages of notes every game, but that's the level of, I'm at the same time, I'm really proud of her that she's like really trying to make this much of an effort to learn that archetype inside and out and all the potential cards. Well, if I had this in my deck this game, like, or, you know, damn it, now I got to change my sideboard and add this. I told you earlier, I was on eBay picking up Thruns because now she wants to run Thrun out of the board, like, which she probably always should have.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, like, it's cool at the same time, so.
Yeah, it is. I mean, dude, like I said, yeah, that's really nice of you to deal with that because, like, I know myself. And I go through some intensive testing, but, like, she doesn't play Magic, so. But when we play any other game, and it can get, like, at me where it's just like, I just want to play the damn game, and. But, you know, you'd sit down like a playtest group, and that's really cool.
We played 6 games last night, and it took about almost 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, just from, like, backing up and doing different things, and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to look at it like a real playtest group. So yeah. My life's been a little insane.
Uh-oh.
Birthday just happened.
Yeah, you did have a birthday, you old fuck.
Yeah, I'm getting older by the day. I did not get to have my party, though. I don't know if I brought it up a couple weeks ago, but, like, my hot water heater went, right? So $700 later, I didn't have the money to throw for the party. And it's like, you know, that kind of sucked, and it kind of put a damper on my birthday. But there was a few people out there who, like, really stepped up to try and make it better for me. That was really cool. Also, I have played a lot.
That sounds like some good people, dude. Good people.
Oh, yeah. They're real good people. I was shocked at how many people on Twitter and Facebook sent me birthday wishes. Like, I mean, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Also, let me think. I've been playing a fuck ton of Magic. Between doing all of the limited that I normally do, which, you know, that's about a tournament a day. When you consider how much I'm working on top of that, like, a tournament a day is a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, I still get my tournament a day in, and then I'm, you know, always, seems like I've grinded a lot of block over the last week or so. So, like, I've been playing a lot of Magic, and I took some time off from work for 3 days. Like, I went Saturday, Sunday, Monday, no work. Just to try and sit back and enjoy myself. I jumped into the, Journey, championship qualifier. On my, you know, birthday morning, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go rock this thing. Round one, I get paired against Kenji.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, gee, I don't get no easy game to start with. And my deck wasn't that good to begin with. Like, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, I might be able to go 4-1 with this, but I'm going to need some help. Like, I'm going to need a couple rounds of just paired against bad players, and I'm going to need a couple rounds of luck. And I might go 4-1 and I might qualify because I did have like the crazy out of, the Dictate of the Twin Gods. you know, dealing double damage, you can kill people that way. Although I actually had it backfire.
Out that card in standard, actually, bro. Like, out of the board.
I don't know. But, like, I was like, okay. But I actually got blown out by it because the one time, like, I had the dude and I knew I had him. But I had to beat him that turn and I'm like, okay, go for it. Drop the dictate, do all this combat craziness. And he goes, a Johnny's presence.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, fuck. And he was able to save, like, the one creature that I needed to get some damage in with.
Did he strive it?
Yeah.
Didn't see all that open mana?
He had one card in hand, and when you're playing limited, you can't guarantee which card it is. You know what I mean? A lot of times, after a few turns, if he has one card in hand, you just put the player on land, because a lot of people like to hold a land and, you know, kind of to bluff that they have something when you know full well they don't.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was putting him on. I was like, he's had one card in his hand for four turns. He has a fucking land. I'm going for it. And I got blown out. I was like, okay.
That was not a land.
All right.
Dude, that's bad beats, man.
It is. And, you know, Kenji just housed me. His deck was amazing. Like, it would shock. He had all the removal, and I mean all the removal. So, you know, hey, I got my butt whooped, and I'm like, okay, I've had enough of this. And so, you know, I did not have the best weekend of Magic, realistically. Like, I got beat a lot playing block. I O2'd the championship qualifier and dropped. And then, like, I think I might have won one draft. You know, I might have – I did not win any dailies. I 3-1 one of them. Like, I went 2-2 a bunch. Just not a good week of Magic, so – But it, hey, that's kind of what it is. You have those good weeks, you have those bad weeks. Sometimes you just don't draw stuff in the right order. Lord knows MTGO Shuffler can just hate you for a month.
Yeah, I've heard the horror stories about the streaks.
Yeah, so I mean that happens. I know I'm not a bad player. I'm just Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. All I heard was I've heard the
This is about the streaks where they think like you go on this bad streak for like a month and then they think MTGO rewards you and then like makes it up to you by giving you like god draws for like a couple weeks.
Really weird. You'll have like a week of really hot runs and then you'll have a week where you just like can't seem to draw anything, and then you'll have, which it partly I think really does keep your rating right about where it's supposed to be. Because, like, you'll have a run where you jump up, and then you'll have a run where you fall back down, and it's really weird. I just kind of keep at it and figure, in the long run, it equals itself out. It's just, during that week you might have where it's really bad, it's frustrating as hell.
But, yeah, dude, I'm like prone to throw shit. I'd probably break my computer.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta learn not to throw shit, man.
I'm Irish. That's easier said than done.
Dude, no, you don't understand. I broke four TVs with remote controls in my life, okay? This is when I was younger and had a little bit more of a temper.
Well, yeah, and you're a big sports fan, man. Like, I could easily.
Yeah.
I could see you throwing the remote at a Pirates game.
Steeler games. At least three of those TVs came from a Steelers game, and I think one of them came from a Penguins game. None of them came from Pirates games because pretty much my entire adult life until last year, they just sucked.
Look, so. I hate the Steelers, but I'll admit, and I can admit this, and people will not admit this, but the Steelers get fucked more than any team in the league when it comes to like penalties and punishments and flags thrown and bullshit calls.
Yeah, defense, they just call shit on them.
That like, as a Steelers fan, I could very easily like just see myself losing it over like some ref like blowing shit and then.
Yeah, I can remember when Roethlisberger got punched in the face and broke his nose and they didn't call anything. Like, I about lost my mind. But anyway, what I was getting at is, Ryan, if there's any piece of advice I can give you, is it's not worth getting all fired up and worrying about it because everything's going to turn out the way it turns out anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, and dude, I didn't learn that until I was like 30. So, like, take that in, take that little bit of knowledge in and, you know, let it resonate with you because... Yeah, it's just not worth getting fired up about. Everything's going to turn out the way it's going to turn out anyway.
This is true.
Yeah, so, I mean, but what I'm going to do about my birthday thing is we're going to have a party probably in about a month or two. probably about 2 months when it starts to cool down again. Because right now, man, like, I ain't gonna bullshit you. People think, oh, you know, Pittsburgh, the humidity can't be that bad. You're kind of in the middle of the country. Wrong.
Shit.
Dude, we are surrounded by Great Lakes and rivers and streets.
It's mosquito country.
Yeah, dude, it is so fucking humuggity around here. I swear to God, today was like breathing mayonnaise.
You guys get them like fucking quarter-sized mosquitoes on the regular, like...
Yeah.
I don't know who would say that about the Pittsburgh area, like very humid, like.
It's very close to living next to the ocean, but a lot of people don't kind of put the two together. Like the humidity here is the same as Florida.
It's very, very humid here too, but we're not around that much water. It's definitely not like dry heat like out west. Like,
yeah, you're not Arizona, but you're probably not as bad as here.
No, I mean,
we get it bad because a lot of the,
our mosquitoes can't pick us up.
Yeah.
They fly away with us.
A lot of the, moisture, it kind of gets trapped on this side of the mountains too.
Yeah.
So
we just
live in fucking this muck, and it's just, oh, today, legitimately, man, it was like breathing mayonnaise. Like it hurt to breathe.
That's so gross.
Dude, but it's very descriptive.
It's gross, bro.
It's very descriptive though. Like you know what I'm talking about. It's just thick. Just, ugh. So yeah. But yeah, that's, hopefully that goes away. I'm thinking later, once it starts to cool down a little bit and humidity drops, like, you know, September, I'm going to throw a party then. Probably shortly after I get back from Portland.
Do it right. Do it right.
Oh,
I'm so fucking jealous you're going to Portland.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm probably going to stop by your house on the way back and crash one night.
Dude, that'd be fucking ridiculous.
Well, I'll be around your place late Tuesday on the way back, I'm thinking. And it's like, do I want to rush back overnight to be at my house, you know, like early, early in the morning Wednesday? Or, you know, I can go to your house and record the podcast from there and then just email it to me.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So I was thinking that might be a plan, but, you know, we'll see.
Oh, God, a live cast.
Live cast with Ninja Dave.
With Ninja Dave. With Buttercup. Buttercup.
Because he's running out there with me. I do have a ton of shots.
By the way, real quick, while we're on Buttercup, let me say he's in my thoughts. Sounds like the guy's going through some shit I don't necessarily want to get into here on the cast or ask about or whatever. But in my thoughts, man, like I sincerely do hope everything's going all right. And if you do need anything, you know you got the posse.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, you know that. Like his life has been crazy recently. I'm really hoping this trip to Portland with me just gets his brain out of it. Cause I know when we went to Philadelphia, like he just seemed in such a good mood just to be away from all the drama and everything.
For sure.
And it just, you know, it was like a reset, and I'm really hoping that, you know, the trip to Portland kind of does the same thing for him. Cause we're going to be gone a week.
Right.
Realistically, we're gone for a week.
Yeah, so. That's a vacation.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that he just goes out, has a good time, enjoys himself. You know, yes, he has to be our chauffeur, but
he's got to manage somehow to keep you alive.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, okay, well, Kevy Slick basically decided that he was going to do everything. He was going to keep the three of us alive.
Yeah, more or less.
So, you know, it'd be good. It'd be good for him to keep us alive. But yeah, I do have a fuck ton of shout outs though, man. So please let me get all these out. First off, shout out to Celso for A, coming on the show last week, B, playing a fuck ton of block with me, and C, for sending me an amazing birthday gift. Dude, he sent me a 4-pack of bacon, a pound a piece. I have Cajun bacon. I have jalapeno bacon. I have regular bacon, and I have some other type of bacon.
Shut up.
Dude, I cannot wait to tear into these things.
No shit.
Yeah, dude. He had them shipped to me. I was like, God damn, now if I can get somebody to send me a pizza, I'll be all right. But yeah, thank you, Celso, for that. And shout out to you. Shout out to our three finalists for the logo contest. You guys put in some real work, and you deserve all the praise that you are going to receive and all the votes you are going to receive. And yeah, shout out to anybody, and I mean anybody. I can't say all the names who sent me birthday wishes. Like, thank you. Like, that's your day up.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, not you. I care less what you sent me. Shout out to Ryan for showing up on the show and actually being okay this week. Made it through a hold 'em. It's the first time in 3 weeks. I mean, you haven't had an extended absence like this since you've come on to the show.
No, I haven't. And last week was, dude, you're my witness. I was here before the show. I was trying to hold it together and you could tell that.
Yeah, dude, I could hear it in your voice. Like, you weren't talkative at all. You were just like, and I'm just like, man, are you okay?
Yeah, I was trying not to violently expel stomach content onto my laptop.
Yeah, at the beginning of the show when I was saying, you know, I was questioning his dedication to the show, that was a joke. Like,
yeah,
he's sick.
They know that. Yeah. They know that.
Well, you know, just clear that up for the two people out there who are like, that's fucked up you said that about Ryan. No, it's a joke. So you two people who are sitting next to each other, probably smoking pot. I was fucking joking. Stop smoking so much pot.
Leave my stoners alone. Leave my stoners alone.
Dude, no, look, man, look, I used to be one. I know this, but there is a point where you can get so stoned you don't understand sarcasm.
There's some points where I'm too stoned I don't understand what's going on the show. So.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, so that happens. True.
Just shout out to Buttercup because, you know, we do kind of have to do that. I've been missing him recently, like not giving him shout outs, and I've been feeling kind of bad about it because he always points it out. He's like, man, you didn't say my name in this one. It's like, God damn it, shut up. Shout out to Will. I hope you're having a good time on your trip. Man, he's a walking motherfucker, man.
I don't know how you walk across several states.
Neither do I, but that's his thing. Different folks, different strokes. Who the fuck are you to judge?
It's cool as shit to me, actually. Like, I'm giving him all the props in the world. Like, I hope he gets back without any injuries. Like, that is hard on your body. You call it just walking. It's hard on your body.
Yeah, this isn't just walking. This is...
Yeah. This is arduous, you know, trekking on trails and whatnot. And, so he's in my thoughts too, man. I hope he pulls through without any injuries or anything and that the whole trip works out good. And, you know, he makes it back without crutches.
Yeah, let me give an anti shout out to, Calvin. Leave me the fuck alone on Twitter when I'm recording. Dude, I have so many messages on my Twitter right now, it's unreal, and they did not start until we started recording. And the first one was, hey, now it's time to hurry up and tag Angelo and everything. Go fuck yourself. Okay, Calvin? I mean that in the best way, but god damn you. I had to throw my fucking phone across the room last week. Today I just stuffed it in the damn desk. But you know what? I'm going to finish the shout outs right there. There's probably plenty more. And if I've forgotten you, I'm sorry, but it is what it is. You got any shout outs there, Rye?
Shout out to you. Shout out to Kelso. Like you already mentioned, thanks for filling in for me last week, buddy. That's big props. Shout out to everyone in the posse, man. You guys are great. It's been an awesome week. I've been trying to catch up on what y'all been saying, but yeah. And anyone interested in playing Cockatrice, will you please fucking say something to Ryan Tice? Quit whining about it. Get on and play some fucking games. Get on there, somebody, play Cockatrice with the guy, like, he's not gonna cheat you. But yeah, I'm just giving him shit cause he just posted something about it, like, I wish you guys played Cockatrice.
Yeah, I can say the same thing, I wish you played MTGO.
Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to especially the new members. We just added three people, Tyler Wardwell, Justin Giddis, and fucking Kevin Schultz is back in the group. So special shout out Kevin Schultz, man. We have, like I said on the page, asked about you recently. We were worried about you, man. Glad that you're alive and well. So
you know what? I actually have to give an anti shout out to Ryan Brommel for adding more spam to the page.
Who'd I add that was spam?
There was some chick that showed up and the next day she put up and I ignored her. I hit the ignore button and you, okayed her. And the next day she put up Ray-Bans and I had to ban her.
Look, if they post and want to be in the group, maybe I should go check their profile and make sure it's real first, but I don't.
I'll just check real fast. Like,
if it's a chicken bikini, I assume it's spam and I don't accept.
Yeah, she did. She looked legit. Like, but I still,
yeah, like, you could tell when it's obvious spam, when it's like a fucking Victoria's Secret model. We know she doesn't want to be my friend. Like,
this chick looked legit, but I went and checked her page and she had no real posts and she was in something like 57 groups.
Yeah. That's well, you know, we'll trade off a few spammers for one Kevin Schultz. We'll take it.
Welcome back, Kevin.
There we go. We got Kevin back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, and that's about it, man. Glad to be back here talking to you this week. I missed you, fucker. So. I'm
sure you did. Hey, I didn't even tell you to shut up tonight. You must have actually missed me.
You didn't tell me to shut up once tonight.
No.
You know what, though? I'm also not drinking tonight, so that may or may not have something to do with it.
That probably has a lot to do with it, because when you start drinking, I do throw the shut ups out there.
I got a message.
You're talking saying too much.
I got a message saying maybe I should try not drinking so much during the cast. I'm gonna give it a try.
Hey, give it a try.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say who, but someone did send me like, "Hey, man, like." It's like, you know.
You get bad towards the end sometimes, man.
Yeah. I start to get lengthy and stuff. Things that you've already told me. It was nothing. The critique I got was nothing I haven't heard before, so.
Yeah, it was just good to hear from somebody else where it's just like, oh, okay, Angelo's not just blowing smoke up my ass.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So I'm doing the not drinking for an episode or two, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, man, you're usually fine when you just smoke pot.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, and that does the job, you know, like.
So.
We do have a drunk cast coming up though, no, that's a while away. What the fuck am I thinking?
Yeah, we're like 28 episodes out.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
We're like half a year away from a drunk cast.
I know, that's the thing. It's just like, oh, we're at 72. Like, I mean, we're almost there. And it's like, wait, 72.
I know the time flies by though. That's true.
No, but it's going to be like Christmas. And it's hard to say 28. Oh, wait, no, that's weeks. That's going to be a while. Nah, fuck it. Never mind.
Oh, I do also, before I forget, I don't know if he listens or not, but I also want to give a shout out to Maddie Studios, you know, part of the Posse family, those SVU fucks. I consider them as, you know, as much as I don't like, the SVU fuckers, a lot of them are part of our fucked up family here. No, I'm just
curious. What I've come to notice, and this is like my own little critique that hit me the other day. The Posse, we own Facebook.
Yeah, and we're not very clicky
on Facebook.
We're not very clicky either, but that's another.
We are in a way on Facebook.
That's a discussion for later, but yeah, what I'm saying is
they own Twitter.
I do want to say that I wanted to give a shout out to Maddie Studios this week for trying as hard as he could to stay a bit more positive in the last Heavy Meta episode. It kind of inspired me to, you know, maybe try to be a little more positive on here. I give a lot of people a lot of shit, and yeah, that's just me though. Like, you know, love it or hate it, I'm gonna call you out if you're doing some fucking lame ass shit like wear a Pokemon hat. That's just me.
Jesus Christ, let's not even get started on that again.
But I will. It did make me think that, yeah, you know, I'll try to be a little more positive. I'll try not to rag too hard. But that being said, let me know if I slip up. I think I did a good job tonight. I wasn't too judgmental of anybody or one thing tonight. I don't think.
No, you even said something nice about Brad Nelson.
Yeah, I did. That's a cool thing what he's doing, so for sure. I may go to his stream and do something besides troll his viewers. So, yeah.
I think he's done with this, but, you know, he did raise a ton of money.
Yeah, and that's cool. That's cool as shit. So, I mean, yeah, props to him. I will give a shout out to Brad Nelson. There we go.
Yes, shout out to Brad Nelson. I'm going to back that up completely.
So, yeah, so there's that, but that's all. That's all I got, man.
Okay, contact info there, Rye.
Brother Yan on Twitter, Brother Ryan, hit me up. I'm getting towards 800. Help me out. Get me there, people. Let's go. And the Facebook group, of course, as always. We're always there. Yeah.
Yes. Put Pit Imps in your search bar. Pit Imps Podcast in your search bar on Facebook. Come hang out with our little degenerate family, and then you will get to vote on these artist contests as well. You can get a hold of me at Gonksuo on Twitter. You can also find me at the same thing on MTGO. and Once in a Blue Moon, which I actually got to do one pretty soon here, because I have to do one like every couple months or something like that. I write for MTG Bro Deals, and even if I'm not writing there, you should definitely go check that stuff out.
You know what else they should check out? Is fucking Brainstorm Brewery, and let those guys know, let our sponsors know how much you all love the cast. You know what I mean? Get on there, your comments. Let them
legitimately
know.
If you listen to it off of their link, tell Marcel. If you're just one of those people that just wait until it pops up on the Brainstorm Brewery site, let Marcel know that you appreciate it and that's where you get it from, because
yeah,
you know,
link for it in their podcast tab. It doesn't show up there yet, but
yeah, he usually puts it up the following Monday after we record. But yeah, I mean, let him know that, you know, what he's doing.
Yeah,
is
if
worth
you want
his time.
It up there sooner, yell at him.
Yeah, yell at him. Absolutely, go. Yell at him. So that's how you can get a hold of me, Ryan. It was good, just me and you sitting down having a chat. It's been a while since we've done that. We've had guests on for fucking weeks, every week.
God, I was getting tired of those fuckers.
I know, like making our podcast go all fucking long. And you know what? This is going to be the first time in a while you're going to get to do it. So next week we're going to go over SCG Providence. And we're going to have probably another just, you know, magic discussion, which is going to be cool. But until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one, guys, and go fuck yourself.